morning, lovely people. Today it's a very special morning. I have with me Adrian Tracy from Quantum Leap Consulting. He is a mindset expert, and now I'm telling you, to be a mindset expert, that's something. Adrian, welcome to the What's What interview. I'm very, very happy to have you with us this morning.
Good morning, Bogdan. Thank you. But great to be here too. Appreciate it.
What we usually do in this kind of interviews, it's a friendly interview. And we are going to have a laugh.
Okay.
And we are going to enjoy some time. Guys, please excuse me. I had to take a pill. I've almost lost my voice yesterday. So I'm just trying to recover my voice. Now, Adrian, why mindset? Like, there are so many industries and so many things to do, but mindset, from my perspective, I have a degree in clinical psychology, and it took me, with all my knowledge, it took me about 15 years to change my mindset. So why mindset?
Why mindset? That's a brilliant question, Bogdan, and I'm going to have to be very careful. I didn't realize your background in psychology, so you're going to be keeping me on track. It's something that for me is quite simple, really. Something that really resonated with me a few years ago when I first got into this. When I first started learning about mindset, and gosh, I really wish that people learned about how the mind works earlier on in their lives. I really do. I was in my mid-30s before I had any concept whatsoever of mindset or how to change how I think and maybe why I wasn't getting the results that I wanted at that particular point in my life. And I came across somebody who for me is I consider him, or he was, sort of the granddaddy of personal development, and that was Bob Proctor. Mm-hmm. And I went through a program with one of his consultants at the time. And within that program, it just explained to me that success in anything is only 5% of what you do and 95% your mindset, because people can be successful in whatever it is that they want to be. And success is an incredibly personal thing. You know, my idea of success is probably not the same as yours, is not the same as somebody else's. You know, it's incredibly personal. And for me, when I just thought about that and thinking is something that we probably don't do enough of. But when I thought about that, going, well, yes, it really is. If I want to be successful, I want to change the results that I'm having, then I need to figure out, I need to understand what's going on. And I didn't understand what was going on in my mind at the time.
Yeah, I know. I mean, mindset, when I said it took me 15 years to change my mindset, and I mean it, like, because the way I was seeing things before, it was like, if I just do what I do, the results will come. Yeah. But I've never used, well, basically when you make your plans, you know, or your targets, it is a kind of, it is a type of visualization, you know, but it's not really visualization. So I'm always going back to what happened 2 years ago when I went to Arizona. Mm-hmm. For a business and personal development event, and there was a guy who was speaking about visualization and, you know, how the mind works and all that stuff. And even if I had that knowledge, I've never thought that have such a big impact into my life and into my business, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I started to change my mindset, suddenly all the results started to change, and it was like a wow, you know. My psychology background, like, it is for kids development, you know, working with kids and helping kids to develop their brains and their minds and psychologically. Mm-hmm. So that's my background. This is what I've done, and this is what I'm still doing it in a different way, not as a psychologist. But It was very, very, very interesting to me to realize that. And now the question I have for you next is, how that impacted your work and like your life. I mean, personal and business, they are two different things. So how did changing your mindset impacted your life from a personal perspective and from a business perspective?
That's another huge question.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose that's why we're here. So on a personal note, and I'm sure a lot of people can probably resonate with this. I was in my mid-30s. I had up until that point, I had done sort of ticked all the boxes, let's say, insofar as what you're supposed to do. So I went all the way in secondary school, got my leaving cert, went into college, got my degree, started into the corporate world and started working my way up the ladder. And I was doing okay. I wasn't doing too bad. I would be sort of happy enough with where I got, but then I seemed to hit a plateau. And I spent maybe about 10 years on that plateau. And I remember distinctly, and I said this to somebody the other day, that I remember having the conversation with myself that I would either settle and just be happy where I was, or I had to really think about what it is that I wanted to achieve and push towards that. And I remember saying to myself, well, I've got kids, I've got responsibilities, I've got a mortgage, I've, car loans, all that sort of stuff. It settle, Adrian. Think about what your father did. And that was probably the biggest driver for me. My father was a school teacher. And he no more wanted to be a school teacher than the man on the moon. He grew up in Ireland in a time in the mid-50s and 60s, where the advice that he was given as a young person was get a good pensionable job, regardless of whether you like the job or not, get a good pensionable job. And he became a school teacher, and he put, as he always did, he put his whole effort into being, the best school teacher that he could possibly be. And it broke him. He spent 35 years doing a job that he had no interest in doing, that he didn't like. And so after I had that conversation with myself, and I said, settle for yourself, Adrian. About a few months later, I began thinking of my father, and I was like, do you know what? I don't want to end up like that. Life is too short. I want to spend my life doing something that I'm interested in. And even going back to when I was in college, there was one particular thing stuck with me, and you would know this, Abraham Maslow. And they have the hierarchy of needs, and that tip of the pyramid, that self-actualization, becoming all that you can become, that was a really sort of driving force in me for my entire life, up until I said, just settle and forget about it. But as I said, a couple of months later, then it was, no, Adrian, don't be so silly. You've got goals, you've got desires. You don't want to sit on your deathbed and look back and go, oh God, I wish I had done this, or I wish I had done that. As I say, life is too short. You really need to figure out what it is that you want to do. And so I began to invest in myself, because that's one thing I think an awful lot of people don't do. I invested in personal development courses. I invested in the Thinking Into Results program through of Bob Proctor's, and through that, it changed my outlook. It changed my attitude. And we say that your attitude is like a cake mixture. It's a mixture of your beliefs, your actions, and your those sort of things. So it began to make me change how I looked at things and how I wanted to, made me focus a little bit clearer on what it is that I wanted to achieve. Because I never had written down goals. And if you know yourself, if you don't have written down goals, you're just sort of, meandering along, just being blown along by the winds, and you change at the top of a hat. So it had an incredible focus on me for my personal life, because I wanted to make sure that I had something that I'd be proud of, and my kids would be proud of, and my wife would be proud of. And from a business perspective, I decided that I wanted to help other people get the same clarity that I got. And so that's why I do now what I do.
I've seen a TikTok with a guy, and he actually asked a question. He made a point there, and I was like, I was looking forward for this interview to ask the question to see what would be your opinion on this topic from a mindset perspective. And the guy said, the guy on the interview on that short reel I've seen said, if it is very hard for you to change your let's say your the things you do every day, what will make you think that you will be able to change someone else? So I was like, what? Because sometimes, we have the things we do every single day, like you have your things, your way of doing things, and sometimes they are not the best way, to do it. Maybe you are not effective, maybe you are losing time, maybe there are a lot of maybes over there. So the question is, how hard was for you to switch from Adrian Tracy before starting the mindset courses and before investing in his development, and Adrian Tracy in 2024? I'm asking, the only reason I'm asking Adrian is because I know how hard it was for me to change myself and to change the ordinary things I used to do every single day, and to accept that what I'm doing is wrong. That the acceptance would be maybe the key thing here. But for the people who accept that change, to accept that they have to change something to thrive, to be successful, they are going to become successful. They are successful people. So if it would be to compare Adrian Tracy before he started, like when he was in his 30s, and Adrian Tracy in
Today.
2020, yeah, what would be?
The biggest change, Bogdan, has been an understanding. One of the things that I repeat over and over and over again to people is understanding is the key to success. If you don't understand what's going on, you can't change anything. And that applies not just to your mind, but it applies to everything. If you were, let's say you had a car with a faulty engine, and it wasn't working properly. If you didn't understand how the engine worked, you couldn't change it. You couldn't fix it. And how we do it, the problem that I have with most coaches that I hear out there is that they're not going to the root cause of the problem. And the root cause of the problem is your thinking. So if you were to go to a business coach, they might tell you, right, Bogdan, I need you to stop doing this, this, and this, and I need you to start doing this, this, and this. So you'll take that advice and you'll start doing it. And in the short term, you will see results. You will see a change and you will see results. It's very much like going on a diet. You go on a diet for 6 months or 3 months or whatever it is. You change your habits in the short term, and you're doing it because this is what somebody has told you need to do, or this is what the script is, the diet script is. But as soon as you get to the end of that, you revert back to your old habits. You revert back to your old paradigms, is what I call it. A paradigm is when we have a group of habits together. It's almost like, and this is an analogy I use an awful lot with people. It's like the operating system on your phone. So whether you're an Android user or an Apple user or whatever the operating system is what controls the phone. You have an operating system that has been programmed over a long period of time, all the time from when you're a little baba. Up until this point, you have been programmed to do things in a certain way. So the biggest difference, I suppose, for me is that I now understand how I've been programmed. I understand what is holding me back from achieving what I want to do, and I understand how to change it. I came up with an acronym the other day, which was I called it UUA, UUA. Yeah. So it's understanding what's going on, understanding how the mind works, understanding how to change it, and then applying that understanding. Because understanding is only half of it, but it's the basis of it. So once you understand what is happening, you understand how things work, then you're able to apply that understanding and to change it. And you know, to answer the question, I think that's the biggest part for me. The difference between 10 years ago and now is that I have this understanding as to how things work. And so I can help people to have that understanding also in order to change.
Habits is the word I was actually looking for.
Habit.
And thank you for mentioning it. How hard or how long it takes to someone to change a habit? I know before it was 30 days, like if you are drinking coffee and if you want to drink no more coffee, you have to drop it for at least 30 days. But it might, I know the new numbers are different. But when it comes to business, some of the habits people do in business, they need change. Like for me, I know what I have to change because every single day I'm checking what I've done in the morning, if that is what my plan was in the morning, and I check if I followed the plan or but sometimes you have bad habits. And those bad habits affect your business. So how long time usually takes to someone to change a bad habit to a good habit?
You're dead right. There's a lot of different theories out there about how long it takes to form a new habit. I suppose my standard answer is anything from 3 weeks to like 180 days. It depends on a number of things. It depends on what you're trying to change. And it depends on your motivation, and it depends on your feeling towards what it is that you're trying to change. And it also depends on what sort of little what's the word? Helpers that you're able to have to form this new habit. A lot of people in general do find it incredibly difficult to stick to something. So again, just to come back to sort of diets and gyms, if you look at the gyms on 1st of January, they're full. If you look at the gyms at the end of January, they're empty. You know,
I'm laughing because every single year I'm telling to myself, this year I'm going to start going to gym. And even the girls, they know that, when they come to me and they say, Daddy, you said that in the last 5 years. I don't like gym. I like football. I play football. But, sorry to interrupt you.
Not at all. It is funny because I remember I once signed up for a gym in the same way, and a friend of mine told me, he said, the only money you lost is the money out of your, or sorry, the only weight you lost is the weight of the money out of your wallet or out of your bank account, that you paid for. And it was dead true, because I went once, I think it was, in that time period, and that was it. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big visual person, and I suppose I'm not unique in that way. I believe that everybody thinks in pictures. If we want to achieve something, we really have to. You mentioned visualization earlier on, and that is key. Directly opposite my desk here, I have a vision board in front of me, of what I wanted to achieve during 2024, and I've sort of ticked off about half of it, which is not too bad. I'm happy enough with the progress, and the year isn't over yet either, so there's still time. In order to the paradigms, the habits, the programs that we have in our subconscious mind are so strong, because they've been built and reinforced so many times. Did you know, Bogdan, that constant spaced repetition is really the only way to build a new habit, to build a new paradigm? So by doing the same thing over and over again, by writing the same thing over and over again, by listening to the same thing over and over again, because that's how we learn. If you think back about to when you were a kid, you probably may not or may not remember, but when you were learning to walk, that's how you learned. You learned by trying over and over and over and over again in order to do it. And you got better at it the more that you did it. And it's the exact same with anything that we try to do in life. The only way that we can create this new habit, and habits are super important, and they're so useful to us, because we don't have to think about everything all the time. When we have these habits, we do it on what we call autopilot. It takes that constant space repetition in order to create it. I was writing something earlier on today, and it was about, if you think back to when you learned how to drive a car, how tiring was it to learn how to drive a car?
Oh, I had a hell of experience.
Well, you'll have to tell me about that. You'd have your hour's lesson, okay? And by the end of it, you're both physically and emotionally drained. And why is
Exactly,
that?
yeah.
Why
Because you
is
didn't know
that?
how to do it.
Exactly, because you're thinking about it the whole time. You're using up thinking uses up an awful lot of energy from the body. And when you're thinking about it all the time, you get tired, because you're thinking, what's that car doing there? What's happening over there? What's happening behind me? What am I supposed to do with my hands? Where are my feet? All those sort of things. Whereas once you have learned how to do it, everything just becomes an autopilot. You're watching all your mirrors without even knowing about it. You're watching the car at the road in front of you. You can see the car behind you, and you're much more relaxed. You can go on a 2 or 3 hour journey and you're fine. But when you're learning how to do it, parking a car can stress you out because you don't know what you're doing.
Exam was the worst experience I ever had. I don't know. In Romania, it's a little bit different. Like, I had my driving license in Romania. The way it works is you do your test, like the theory test, and you have to pass that. And if you pass that, then you go to do your exam straight away. So it's in the same day. So in that day, you can get your full driving license. You are not allowed to drive until you have the full driving license. So the system is a little bit different. But then when you do your driving school, you have to drive for 40 hours with an instructor. And then when you take the test, it's a real police officer in car with you. So now, yeah, it's a different experience, I'm telling you. And it didn't change. Now, when I ha did my, I'm laughing because when I did my driving school, you're supposed to do 2 hours a day, 3 days a week. But my instructor, she was working as a teacher to an driving school, like a high school, proper high school for mechanics and stuff like that. So she was working there, but then in her own time, she was doing driving lessons. So I had her with me, and the only day she was available was Sunday morning. But guess what? On Saturday evening, we were going party, and then she was coming Sunday morning to take me to drive for 6 hours.
6 hours.
6 hours straight, yeah. So 6 hours we went to the city and going outside the city, and I like basically I was her driver. I used to go wherever she was telling me to go. But one day I came, and let's say the party finished late, about 5. So I had 1 hour sleep, and I was still had you could still feel the alcohol, but she took me to drive, and it was a manual car, and then my hand slept twice on her leg. Oh, ouch! So she slapped. I've got a slap. She said, "Don't do that anymore." And I said, "But it was like I didn't want you to do it. It was just I was so tired." Yeah, it was a different experience. And then the mindset, like it's even harder when it comes to mindset. It is different. It is even harder from a business perspective if you are looking to reach different markets because it's a different mindset. We would like to think that the mindset is the same, but it is not. It is different because there are so many other things many other components of the mindset. And how hard or how easy was for you to find your target market in Ireland and abroad? Because I think you have clients abroad as well. So
Yes,
do you see the difference in mindsets, or do you see I don't know, a general thing that you can find?
Both Bogdan, to be honest with you, we're humans at the end of the day. And we're not as different as people like to think that we are. I deal with people on a regular enough basis, all the way from Iceland down to Argentina, over to the Middle East, over to America. And at the core, we're not that different, really. That's what I found. We have cultural mindsets for sure. And I think when you talk about mindset, quite often we always sort of think about the individual, but you have also got this mindset that permeates throughout an entire culture, be that in a country or within an organization, within a business. And culture, generally speaking, comes from in an organization anyway, comes from the top down. It doesn't come from the bottom up. It always comes from the top down. But yeah, you are right. There are differences, but I tend to concentrate as much as I can on the similarities, as opposed to the differences. When I go back to Maslow for a second, the reason why that is so well integrated in most psychology theories these days is, in my opinion, because it applies to the vast majority of people. Once we have our basic needs met, then we begin to think outside of that, and we begin to reach forward into the next level, and the next level, and the next level. So there's more similarities, I believe, than there are differences. And that's something that I wish people would sort of embrace a little bit more, because especially these days, and without getting political about it, we see in an awful lot of countries where it's, let's put up a wall, let's put borders up, because we're here and it's our country and we don't want anybody else in. And that's not just America, that's in an awful lot of countries around the world at the moment. I'm not a politician, so I don't understand or a lot about it, but I do believe that we're more different, more sorry, we're more alike than we are different,
That,
across the world.
that's very, very funny because you mentioned it. I'm not a political person either. Like, I barely know what's going on. I don't have time to check news and see whoever, what country, what they did. I don't care. Well, I do care to a certain extent, but I mean, at the end of the day, I can't do anything to change it. You know what I mean? So, it's no point to spend time on that. But what intrigues me, it's the and I find it hilarious, is when people become, they don't want to let other people come in their country, but they have no problem leaving their country and going to work somewhere else. They have absolutely no problem with that, but they have a big problem with other people coming to work in their country. And that for me is just,
Particularly being Irish, back then, we have probably as a country got the least right, to be nationalistic or to be, Ireland first, because we've gone to every single country around the world. And I was on Google Maps the other day with a client in Argentina, and I happened to do a street view in a place called Bariloche, down at the very bottom of Argentina. And I just street viewed, turned around, there was an Irish pub. I mean, come on. We are everywhere, and
That was
it's
a
we
joke.
haven't yeah we haven't been welcomed everywhere, but we are everywhere. So
There is a joke like, what is the similarity between Coca-Cola and Irish?
What?
You can find them everywhere.
Very true. Very, very true.
Now, I've like a funny thing, we've been in Madrid this past summer for an international competition with representing Ireland. So we went in this mental arithmetic competition. We did very, very well. So we went out to celebrate in Madrid. So we were just, we didn't like, we've never been, I've never been to Madrid. The other people, the parents were, they never had been to Madrid. So we were just walking around to find a restaurant to celebrate. And guess what? We've ended in an Irish pub. Eating, yeah, eating Irish steak. And so it was so funny and having games.
Everywhere back then. But I suppose that's my two cents on it. I don't think we really have a right to be closing borders or trying to do anything like that. But it's a mentality, and you know, there's an old saying that a lie told often enough becomes the truth. And that's a technique that was used and still is used by an awful lot of politicians. You know, if I keep repeating the same message over and over and over again, true constant spaced repetition, that's how people learn. I can program an entire culture, to believe something that isn't true.
That manipulation. Now, you mentioned that you are a visual person. I am the same. But I fought so hard against it because while I was a student, I've done a computer science degree in UCD. I started in UCD, but I finished in TUDs now. While I was a student, I was looking for work, but I am not a detailed person. I won't see it. Like if you give me to search for something in detail, I won't see it because it's not my type. So after I switched, after I moved from UCD in TUD to finish my degree, they had a course called LEAD, and that basically was meant to help you as a leader, you know, to find yourself. And I was so relieved when the teacher, the presenter said, it's okay to be like that, you know, because you are, I'm the big picture person. I am the guy with ideas. I have the ideas. And then I often call my team and I said, I have this idea. This is the picture. And they will ask me, so how do we get there? I don't know. That's your job. But that's why the team, that's what the team is for, you know, to help you out. Now, from your perspective, what is the biggest challenge in, let's say, in changing your mindset or, you know, accepting that you have to make a few changes? What is the biggest challenge?
So one of the things that we've been programmed with since we've been a babby, is that we have to be good. We have to be right. We have to be perfect. It's not okay to make mistakes. And for me, that's the hardest thing to overcome for a lot of people, is that perfectionism that lives within them, that they're afraid to make mistakes, and that fear of making mistakes prevents them from trying something. You as a business person, you know that you've probably made more mistakes and learned more over the last couple of years by actually doing things, than you would had you sat down and thought about it and go, right, well, I can't afford to make any mistake whatsoever.
I've done things without thinking like because I'm a very optimistic person. So what I decided for myself, even if I make a mistake, I'll take the best out of that mistake. So I like for me failure doesn't exist. I don't, that word doesn't exist for me. Failure is not an option for me. Because even if I do a mistake, that affects, it can affect my business big times. And I did a few big mistakes, very big mistakes, like that cost me a lot. But I was the person responsible for it. I assumed the responsibility for what I've done. And then I learned from it. I make sure it's not going to happen anymore or ever again. So, because you see, maybe it's a mindset here. And I've seen that in some of my friends, it's just the baggage they are carrying from their families, from what they learned from their parents. Some of the people, they are just afraid to step forward. They like the comfort of being in the box. You know what I mean? They don't want to be challenged. They want to live there peacefully. They don't care. They just want to,
That is it's true, but there's a reason for that. Yeah. And the reason for that is environmental programming or environmental conditioning. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's a basic law of nature, and that is you're either growing or you're dying. If you're not expanding, if you're not getting bigger, if you're not growing, then you're going backwards, you're dying. So somebody who's stuck in the comfort zone is not trying to push forward. So they're existing. They're not living. They're existing. They're going to go from birth to death as safely as possible. Yeah. What is the point in that? You know?
I can't understand it. I can't and I'm very serious about it. For me, I can't understand. For some people, that works, but not for me.
Yeah. But it, as I said, that comes back to the environmental condition, which, what happened with my father was a very good example of that. Get a good pensionable job so that you're covered, that you're safe. These days in particular, there is no safety in having a job. People always go, having a job is the safest thing as opposed to being an entrepreneur and trying to create something. Why is it safe to have a job when the company that you work for, no matter what that company is, you're a number. At the end of the day, you're a number, and you can be replaced at a moment's notice, or your job suddenly, if there is trouble with the company, they'll downsize, etc. You're expendable. There is no control. You don't have that safety, and you don't have that control. The only way that you can have safety and that you can have control is that if you're in charge of your destiny. And the only way to do that when it comes to making money or having an income is to take control and to, let's say, not necessarily be an entrepreneur and try to reach for the stars, but that you are in control, that you own your business, that you own what's coming in towards you. And this is a message that I work with some clients in the car rental space, and it's something that I talk to them all the time about is their business mixture. So an awful lot of them, car rental is a cutthroat industry. And I talk to them about revenue management, about trying to increase the revenue. And most car rental operators are addicted to the large brokers, the likes of Booking.com, Expedia, Priceline, etc., etc. Why? Because it's easy. And because that's what has been programmed into them from the past. If you want to increase your number of bookings, sign a new agreement with another broker and you'll get another source of business. Yeah. The problem with that is you don't own it. If that broker
Exactly.
decides that somebody else is going to pay them more money for that booking, well, then those bookings go over to that other person. So my motto with all of the car rental providers that I work with is you need to own at least 51% of your business direct. Yeah. And you'd be surprised, a lot of small operators are 70, 80, 90% of their bookings come from other sources. They don't invest in direct business. They don't try and control their own destiny. And
Because of the comfort.
it's because of the comfort. It's this low-hanging fruit. Oh, it's so easy. It's like a drug. You become addicted to it. You can sign up with a broker today, for example, and you get bookings tomorrow. Whereas to grow your own business is a long-term project. It's something that takes investment, and it might be a year or 2 years before you see the results. But once you have it, your business is more secure. You're not putting all your eggs in the one basket.
We have 5 minutes left. I know you need to go in the other call, but I just want to ask you this. I've seen Tony Robbins in an interview recently, and he was speaking about opportunities and how people are they are looking for the wrong opportunities. And the example he used was in that office, he said to the interviewer, "Look around and tell me where do you see the color brown." So he was looking around and he said, "I've seen brown here, brown there, brown there, brown there." And then he said, "But you haven't seen the color red, isn't it?" He said, "No, because I was looking for the brown." He said, "This is the way in life. Like, if you want to grow your business, you have to look for the opportunities, and that's what you are going to see." And that goes back to the visualization. If you don't visualize, I don't know where you want to be in the future, it's not going to happen. Now, we usually conclude with a funny story. So, like, if you can share, I don't know, a funny or an embarrassing story from your journey, something that you remember, oh, this was funny, or oh, this was so embarrassing, I don't know how I could have done that.
Okay. That's interesting. So something that I was embarrassed about at the time, but I look back on it now and go, well, you know what? That was key to me getting introduced to somebody and to learning something new. So I about gosh, it must be about 3, maybe 4 years ago now at this stage, I met up with another coach. And we said that we would put on an event together. So we would do a live in-person event together. And that was brilliant. So we worked on it together. We put together our presentation. I booked a room. I booked in the hotel. I started advertising. I sold tickets, sorry, free tickets, but people would register for. I had agreed that maybe, in the room, I was looking for a maximum of 50 people. And I thought that maybe we might get 20 or 30, something like that. I had 15 confirmed to me that said they were coming. And so I arrived at the hotel, got the room set up, was looking forward to it. And then it was like, well, where's my co presenter? Where is she? And then I was ringing her and I didn't get an answer. And I text her and I was like, oh, was that tonight? I was like, oh my God.
Oh, geez.
She was like, okay, well, no, I didn't know that we were actually going ahead with it. And I was like, really?
What?
Really? I confirmed it with you many times, okay, well, if you're not going to be here, well, unfortunately, you're not going to be here. And then I started getting text messages from some of the people who had confirmed that they were coming and saying, oh, really sorry, can't make it. Really sorry, can't make it. So in the end, I had a room booked for 50 people, chairs out everywhere. If you can imagine this, I had my flip chart set up, had my presentation up on the screen, was ready to go, was playing music. And
Imagine
two people
two.
turned up. But you know what? Those two people got the hour's worth of a presentation that I had prepared because I needed to do it. But at the time, I was so embarrassed. I was so embarrassed. Now, I
That
didn't
happens.
care about the cost of the room or anything like that.
No,
That's
yeah.
immaterial, but
Unfortunately, it happened to me too. Like, we had 160 people registered and only 15. 15 showed up. Yeah, that's why I don't do free events anymore.
No,
Because
but
people.
that's exactly what I've learned too. If you're going to do an event, even if it's a euro, somebody's going to pay for it.
Last minute,
Yeah.
an advice for Adrian Tracy, for the entrepreneurs, or for the people who are in business or starting business, or they are well established. I don't know. An advice that you will have.
Invest in yourself. The one thing that we and I include myself in this up until maybe 10 years ago, that we do is we tend to invest a lot of money in systems. We tend to invest a lot of money in the latest fad, of something in order to get business, but we spend very little money investing in ourselves. And it's not just because I'm a mindset coach that I'm inviting people to do that. It's because I have seen literally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who have benefited exponentially from investing in themselves more so than spending a couple of hundred euros in a new website or a couple of hundred euros in a new tool. Invest in yourself, grow your mind, learn. Understanding is the key to success. You got to understand if you're going to have success.
Thank you very much, Adrian, for your time. I
Pleasure.
wish you all the best in what you do.
Thank you.
Hopefully, we are going to do an event together very, very soon. I'm working on something. By then, guys, thank you very much. I hope you will enjoy watching this video or listening to the podcast. It's going to be featured in the November magazine. Until next interview, Adrian, all the best and thank you very
Great.
much.
Oh, an absolute pleasure, Bogdan. Thank you. Really appreciate it.